Good morning, church family. Good morning. It's good to see you all here this morning as we celebrate Christmas together as a family. So this year is different for all of us in many ways. You'll notice that we have about half the choir that we have because they're out for various health reasons and for safety's sake. So, you know, just pray for us. And we decided, Brother Jerry decided that we were just going to go ahead because this is for the Lord. And so this is our offering to him this morning together. So when you recognize something, sing along, hum along, lift your hearts, open your hearts. And I'm excited to start the Christmas season with my church family this morning. Well, let's get started together. We're going to stand and sing Angels We Have Heard on High. Sound beautiful. Let's continue on and we'll sing The First Noel, one of my favorites.
Good morning. I got to look around, see who's here. David, are you okay? All right. Turn that thing upside down. There you go. What a great week this has been. Actually, the last 2 weeks preparing for our cantata, been really challenging to do this and do it safely. Not sure we're perfect back here with the 6 feet, but we did the best we can, and the choir has practiced hard. Even though it's a shorter cantata, it still takes a lot of work and a lot of sweat and studying and getting ready to do it and moving and this and that. So as they're not going to stay the whole service. They were here the first service, and then after they get done with the cantata, they're going to leave. So beforehand, why don't we give them a hand for doing what they've done for us so far? And we always get them, and I forget about Alex up there, which is easy to forget until you talk with him, then not so easy. But thank you, Alex, for all you do. And we're going to welcome everybody. So the way we do that, I know you just sat down, but let's stand up again and look around and wave at everybody, and then sit back down. Up and down, up and down, jelly beans. Just well, welcome, welcome, welcome. All right, you can be seated again, like jelly beans, huh? Up, 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 up and down. We have a special, before we get started on everything, we have a special presentation, so we're drawing that. You guys come on up.
Today we're going to honor our church secretary, Ginger Hundley. This is her 30-year anniversary. So that alone, I think, deserves some applause. But what a lot of you probably are not aware, she also teaches Sunday school. And when you get a birthday card in the mail from the church, it's because of Ginger. She wears many, many hats. And she is, I think, the pastor's right-hand gal. There you go, best friend sometimes. We can't thank her enough. I mean, there's so many things, so many hats she wears, and so many things that she does for our church. So, Ginger, come on up here, please. And we want to give you a little token of our appreciation. So let's give her a round of applause.
I'm not one for making speeches, but I want to thank everybody for allowing me to work at Hillcrest. We have, this is a wonderful church. I love you all. We've got a great pastor, and I'm blessed to be working in the office, and I just thank you. There's so many things I'd like to say, but they just don't, I can't say them now. I'm crying, I gotta sing.
Thank you.
You know, we've been working together now for 16 years. And there's never been a negative word between Ginger and I, because I always say, yes, ma'am. But we always agree. We have a good working relationship. We have a good friendship. And I appreciate you more than you know. You're pretty special. He has to. We were talking about re-gifting because we recognized her the first service as well. We wanted to give you guys an opportunity to know what's taking place. She does wear many hats. And if you've ever been around the office, there's a lot of things that she does that nobody knows about. And one day she's going to retire in about 30 years. And when she does, somebody's going to have to take over, and you'll be surprised at what she does. That computer is full of stuff that when she takes vacation and I'm in the office, don't even think about asking me to do it. I don't know how to use that computer, and I don't know what she does and how to do it, but I just know it gets done. So we're very blessed to have somebody like Ginger working for our church. So give her one more round of applause, and don't thank you. If you have a chance later on, I was going to say don't hug her neck now. We're not allowed to do that, but just tell her how much you appreciate her. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get started. So let's go to the Lord and pray together. Almighty Father, how we love you and praise you, and what a privilege it is to be here in the house of God. Lord, we worship you. We seek your face. We ask, Lord, that we would feel the very presence of God here as we worship. I pray, Lord, that you would hear our hearts, whether it's a verbal prayer or a silent prayer. I pray, Lord, that you hear what we have to say. And Lord, we know that you answer our prayers, and as you answer them, help us to accept the answer. How often, Father, you say no, and if you do, help us to realize that's the best thing for us. We believe in healing, Lord. We believe that you're able to heal, and we always ask for healing of people that are sick. And we have some that are sick. Some have had surgery this week, and we pray for healing. We pray for complete healing. We also pray, Lord, that everything we say and everything that we do today would bring honor and glory to your name. We thank you for the birth of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we have the Word of God to show us your thoughts and how you expect and demand what we do. And Father, we today ask that you would speak to our hearts throughout this cantata. And, Lord, that we focus our hearts on Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you do for us, the blessings you pour out on us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us.
Rejoice, rejoice, keep mine.
Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart.
Child is born unto us, a son is given. For unto us a child is born, unto us a Son is given, the Messiah. Oh, to see him, to see him. I am lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the Messiah. Oh, to see him, to see him. I am lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy.
But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace. When the Assyrian comes into our land, and when he treads in our palaces, then we will raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 princely men.
Thank you.
But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
The sky was bright with the Lord.
And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.
Creation story now brought.
Didn't they do good? When we decided to have the cantata and started out, we were just going to sing six songs out of the hymn book, try to make it as simple as we could because of the COVID. And one thing led into another. We started going through all the cantatas we've been singing all these years, and it took a lot of time to figure out six songs out of probably, I don't know, 14 or 15 of those cantatas we've had through the past. And what a blessing it was to get together with some great minds that know how to sing and lead. And they are a blessing to your pastor. I want to share with you some thoughts about Christmas. I don't know about you, but Christmas is a pretty special time at the Harwell family. I have thoughts that I want to share with you. I'm not sure you even want to hear them. But since I'm up here, I'm going to share them anyway, so you may as well get ready. When I grew up, it's like, you used to walk to school uphill 5 miles and walk back down 5 miles in 10 feet of snow. But we grew up, we didn't have a whole lot. I can remember my first Christmas, I was probably about 3 or 4 years old, and I got like an orange and an apple and one little bitty old toy. And I thought I was in hog heaven. I guess I could say hog heaven from up here. I just thought I was just the grandest thing. And we didn't know what it was to have all the stuff that we have now. But one thing we did not have that I wished we had have had is my daddy never shared the Christmas story, Christmas Eve or Christmas Day with us. I never heard my daddy read from the Bible when he was a deacon in our church. So we grew up celebrating Christmas, and I really didn't hardly know what Christmas was about except getting a few gifts and, singing a few Christmas songs and things like that. I look forward to going to school because we passed out presents to each other. We drew names, and everybody always got the good presents, and I got the crummy ones. Remember the, this has nothing to do with this. I'm on a roll now. You're going to listen to it. Remember the lifesavers in a box? Some of you are old enough over here. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. But there were some good lifesavers, and then there were some cheapos. And I always got those cheapos. So come altar time, I'm going to get down here and ask forgiveness for the way I've been thinking all these years about cheapo lifesavers. But again, one thing we did not have was the Christmas story read to us. And we make it a point at our house to read the Christmas story every year. And as I prepare messages for Christmas, I flip-flop back and forth to all the stories and pick out one here and one there, a verse here and there. And they all tie in together with the same story. They're just told different ways sometimes. But dads especially, I encourage you, as you celebrate Christmas, to read the Christmas story to your family. I can tell you right now from my point of view that that's very important. I wished I'd heard my daddy share the Christmas story with us. I never did. But I made it a point that I was going to share with my kids the Christmas story. So I encourage you to do that. And if there's not a dad involved, Mom, you can do it. It's just a matter of opening up in Matthew or Luke, John, and share what God has to say about the Lord's birth. So I'm going to get to the message now. Rhonda and I like to drive around looking at Christmas lights. We're always amazed at the different lights of Christmas. There's a huge range of people's taste when it comes to Christmas lights. If you've been on Dover Road this Christmas, there's a house up the street that has a go-kart with Santa Claus in the go-kart, and it's being pulled by flying pigs. That's Christmas lights for you. Then you go over High Point on the street, Alabama. I said that in the first section, but I just said Alabama, and some of them thought I was talking about the state of Alabama, but I'm talking about right over here. There's a house over there that's really dressed up nice, has a whole front yard and side yard and backyard full of really nice lights. They have a range of everything, but it's just put together nice, and somebody did a good job on that. So as you ride by some of these, you see nice lights, but then sometimes you ride by a house that just has a nativity scene, and they focus in on the birth of Christ. And isn't that what Jesus came for us to focus on him? That's what we celebrate, is the Lord Jesus Christ. I cannot even think about what it would be like for us to have celebration without focusing on our Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to take you back today, 2,000 years ago, and we'll flip-flop back and forth what they did then and what we do now and how we interpret things. But realize that whether it's 2,000 years ago or it's now, it's the same Savior. It's the same worship style. This is what we're told to do, or we're told about Jesus, and we see some illustrations of how they worshiped him. Some fell down on their knees and worshiped him. Some brought gifts to the Lord Jesus in a way of worship. But when we get to the nativity scene, there wasn't any Christmas tree lights. There wasn't any parties. It wasn't anything associated with the way we do Christmas now. It was just a down-to-earth God coming to earth in the form of a baby so that you and I could get saved. That's the whole crux of Christmas. So I'm going to start out in Luke chapter 1 and look at verses 26 through 33. And this is the announcement of a wonderful Savior. So listen to God's word out of Luke 1, starting in verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." So the Bible tells us that the angel was sent by God with a message. And the Bible also says he found Mary. And Mary was a very young little girl, and the Bible says she was a bit troubled. Can you remember when you got saved? Do you remember that time when you invited Jesus into your heart? Amen. And what a special feeling it was for Jesus to talk to your heart. He may not have talked with his voice to you, but didn't you feel it right there? And you just knew without a doubt that the Lord Jesus was speaking to you. Now, some have heard that and said, "I don't want anything to do with it," but you're shaking your head yes. So you go back to where Jesus talked to you, and you just knew something was going on in your heart. You just knew it. And I know that that's what Mary was feeling. Now, the angel appeared to her. The Bible said she was troubled, but she knew without a doubt that there was something being said that she needed to hear, and she was going to hear it. She was going to respond. And the Bible says that she was favored by God. So again, go back to the time that you were first saved. You weren't saved out of some kind of accident. At that moment that you were saved, you were favored by God. He zeroed in on you. I've been to revivals. I've gone to foreign countries and preached revivals where, you know, tens and hundreds of people would get saved. And you know, Billy Graham, for instance, would have an altar call and 500 people would come forward. But you can narrow this down. When God finds favor with you and he says, "I am your Savior and I want to save you from your sins," you know you're pretty special. and you have found favor in the Lord Jesus. She was singled out by God, and here's the message that she heard in verse 31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. The name Jesus means Lord of Salvation, or Jesus saves. There's something in the old days, the names meant something. There was something about a name, and Jesus' name meant that I've come to save you. I've come to deliver you from your sins. I am salvation. Let me tell you what that word salvation means. It's deliverance from sin and its consequences. I have come to deliver you from the sin that you were born in. Remember Adam and Eve? They were born imperfect, and then they chose to be disobedient, and because of their sin, they infected us. We're all born in sin. Jesus comes to save us from that sin. And we believe, as Baptists, as children of God, there's only one way to be saved. And that's by the blood of Jesus. So picture that as you ponder what Mary was going through. God came down to earth. Now, what did he leave in heaven? Perfection? Never being hungry? Never needing a coat because he was cold, never needing a bed. This was God that came, and now he's experiencing what you and I go through. He would get hungry. He would get yelled at by people. He would cry at times. He experienced the emotions. Yet, he gave all that up to come down here, so that we would hear that he is salvation. And next week we're going to talk about the nativity scene. We're going to talk about death, burial, and resurrection, as well as he arose, he defeated death for us. So we were all born in sin. And the focus of the birth of Christ is he came to deliver us from that sin. So I say all that to say this and ask you, can Jesus still deliver us from sin today? How important is that? It's just as important now as it was 2,000 years ago, isn't it? That's one reason we do that up there. There's seven balls up there. That's seven. That represents $7,000. Each ball represents $1,000. That's so the foreign missionaries can go out in the world and tell people about Jesus. We believe that that's our job. That's what's taking place here. Can Jesus still save today? And you guys are shaking your heads, yes. You know he can, but you go over to Asia someplace, and they don't know that. They need to be told that. They need to be shared. Not even in Asia. I mean, sometimes you go down to the lake. I mean, the river down here. We used to pick up a group of guys from the river that were homeless. Some of them knew Christ, and some of them didn't. They all had heard about Jesus, but they chose to say no. They liked that lifestyle on the river better. So yes, he can save us, but if your focus is on flying pigs and a go-kart with a Santa Claus, most likely you're not going to care what the focus is anyways about the Lord Jesus. But if your focus is on the nativity scene, then most likely you're going to really care about whether Jesus can deliver you from your sins or not, whether you can experience salvation. So, I want to share with you verses 32 and 33 again. If your focus is right, you're going to claim these two verses. If your focus is on flying pigs in a go-kart, then you don't care about these two verses. Verse 32 and 33 of Luke chapter 1. And God will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. Can you imagine what these verses mean to our hearts? God is great. There's no greater. He'll be called the Son of the Highest. I mean, we'll look up at Jesus and realize that we're in the presence of royalty. We're in the presence of God. You know, Colossians 1:18 says he must have preeminence in our life. He must be number one in our life. So verse 32 says he'll be great and be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord of God will give him the throne of David. That's his people. That's us. He'll be our king. The Bible says in Revelation, he's King of kings and Lord of lords. Is he your king? Is he your Lord? Again, most of you are shaking your heads, yes, but there's a world of people that have no idea who the King of kings is, who Jesus is. So yes, we focus on the Lord Jesus for our Christmas celebration. And I like the way, going back to Matthew, I like the way these two stories tell the same thing different ways. But Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 through 23 says the same thing, but just a few different words. And Mary will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translates God's with us. So we hear in Luke that Jesus, the Lord of salvation, he can save, he will save. Lord, save us. And then we hear in Matthew, Emmanuel, God with us. How in the world can you lose with both those names going before us? He'll save his people from their sins. Jesus is the Lord of salvation. He's the absolute truth of salvation. When I talk to some of you, I'll say, time out for just a second. Let's think about what we just said. He's the Lord of salvation. He's the giver of salvation. He's the deliverer of sins. He's God with us. He's God right down here walking with us. And that means what it meant back then, it means the same thing now, and it means the same thing in the future. God is still with us. So let me ask you, dads, how important is it for you to share the Christmas story with your children, knowing how awesome and important God is to us? I don't know about you guys, I know about me. I want my kids to hear their daddy say how much Jesus loves them. I promise my kids want to hear their dad say something like that. They want to hear it from old dad. And it's a joy for me to say it to them. This has nothing to do with the story. I got plenty of time, so I'm going to tell you anyways. When Jerry and, you know, when we were in seminary, we were at Fort Worth, Texas. Jerry was in 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. And Texas is not a safe place for kids. A lot of gang activity. In fact, the high school and middle school were loaded with Crips, I think, and Blood or something. I don't know, two real big gangs, and they were ruthless. And they would take somebody new to that school, and they would beat on them and make fun of them and make their life miserable until they joined the gang. Well, you know, Jerry had a dad that cared about him, and I would watch him get on that bus and watch him. I'd wait on him to get off that bus, make sure he was safe, but I could see the bus rounding the corner and how the yep, 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 the cussing and the carrying on, attacking the kids that weren't in the gang. So every single morning before Jerry left the house, I'd sit on his bed with him and put my arm around him and pray with him. And I prayed a prayer of protection, and God protected him. But I had no idea what that meant to Jerry until several years later. He told me, Dad, I sure did appreciate you praying for me. I tell you that to tell you, please read the Christmas story to your children. You know, they'll give you a hard time. Oh, Dad, let's not do that this week or this year. You know, they'll make fun of you. Some of those words, Quirinius, you know, I had to practice, and I still mess that word up. And they would make fun of me for mispronouncing words. But the whole time, as they were making fun of me, they were listening with both ears, which funneled down to their heart. They care about the Word of God. They care about having a dad that cares about the Word of God, or a mom that cares about the Word of God. If you don't have a husband at home, or if your husband won't do it, moms, why don't you read the Christmas story to your children? It's a special time of worship. We focus on Jesus Christ for the month of December. We ought to be focusing on it the whole year, to be honest about it. But we spend a whole lot of time worshiping Jesus at Christmas time. Today, we just explore the name of Jesus, the Lord of salvation. Jesus saves. Emmanuel, God with us. So as you gather around your Christmas tree, whenever you exchange gifts, if you exchange gifts, remember what the focus is. The focus is on Jesus Christ, our God, who can save us. So we're going to have an invitation. It's going to be a different kind of invitation for us. I asked Samuel if he would sing and play the piano for us. So he's going to sing What Child Is This? I'm going to ask, you guys can just sit in your pew or, never mind, we're going to stand. If you're sitting down, you may not want to step out in the aisle. So we're going to stand, but we're not going to sing. We're just going to close our eyes and ponder on the song, on the message, on Jesus. And if you're not saved, if you don't have Jesus in your heart and your life, let me invite you to come forward and say, Brother Jerry, I need Jesus, and I'll pray with you. I'll show you how to get Jesus in your heart. Dads, if you've heard something today that you want to apply to your life, like reading the Christmas story, why don't you ask God for help, because it's hard the first time. I'll just tell you that right now. We need His help. Maybe somebody needs to recommit their life to the Lord because their focus has not been right with God. I never know what God's going to do during this invitation, but I'm going to be down there. If He does something in your heart, I would be glad to pray with you. So let's let Samuel play and sing, and then we'll have another prayer and we'll dismiss.
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring Him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. Why lies He in such mean estate, where ox and sheep are feeding? The end of fear for all who hear the silent Word is speaking. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste is to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to love him. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, whom the shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him praise, the babe, the Son of Mary.
One thought left. Yeah. Don prayed that he felt the presence of God in a big way, and I hope you did too. He's here. Let's dismiss. Father Almighty, thank you, God, for your blessings, your love, and grace. Lord, from people that need you, we thank you for salvation, that you loved us enough to die for us. Loved us enough, Father, for you to give your Son for us and our sin. Now bless us, Father, as we leave. I do pray that you give us a protection on the way home and whatever is left of this day, Lord, that we would enjoy you and still worship you. And Father, to just enjoy peace and joy today. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night.